Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Great.
Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Got it. Good evening. Welcome to the Tex and Rex Show. This is Tex, your host, dialing in from Houston, Texas, once again. And we have Rex with us as well.
Good evening. How are you, Tex?
I'm doing just fine after our little technical difficulties.
Yeah, there's some technical difficulties, so bear with us this evening. But you are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive, conservatism with a bite. Tex, looks like the RNC is meeting next week, and they might be discussing these rules they enacted in Tampa, the Ben Ginsburg rules that we talked about last week, which is a very important thing for the grassroots, but even more importantly, is, as you've said many times, this is a sign of weakness that they put these rules in place. So right now, the grassroots conservatives, libertarians, and Republicans are poised to have a massive victory, and only the Republican Party can take that away and give us a spectacular defeat. So the real question is are people excited and ready to win, or are they just going to sit back and complain about guys like John Boehner, Little Prince Pubic, and Karl Rove? I think we do a lot of hurl a lot of anger towards them because they're what's destroying conservatism. But I'm fairly confident that we can beat them. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, absolutely. The thing is, the party is nothing without the grassroots, and to adopt a strategy that would say that, well, we don't like our voters, so we're going to throw our voters overboard. We don't like the party activists, so we're going to throw the party activists overboard, and we're just going to go get new followers. I don't think it's really going to be a very successful strategy for them. The big question comes down to whether or not the rules that were forced through by Ben Ginsburg at the convention will be overturned here in L.A. Now, if they're not, that doesn't mean that, you know, all is lost. The RNC still meets three times a year. They'll meet again this year. And there will be other opportunities to change the rules. But if at some point the rules are not changed, then the party really is just going to be run out of Washington. And it's a question as to whether or not people want to donate any time or effort or money to support such a party. What you're fighting with, though, is people's natural inclination when meeting in groups to shut up and just do what the leader says. And given that there's 168 members of the RNC, the leadership and that it only meets three times a year. The leadership of the RNC has a lot of power and authority over what happens at the meeting and what happens between the meetings, which actually is more important, because as I recall from my time in Washington, by the time the meeting happens, the meeting's already over. Once the meeting starts, it's done, because everything goes on autopilot, and they read from a script that tells them exactly what to say. And this is exactly what happened at Tampa, and everybody's seen the video clip of Boehner reading from his teleprompter, stating that the eyes have it, famously. And I think I actually have that quote here. Let me see if I can find it. Well, I won't worry about it. Oh, there it is. Hold on just a second.
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
We need another chair. The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
So what you're looking at is a repeat of that sort of behavior, where it doesn't really matter what happens at the meeting. All that matters is what's loaded into the teleprompter. In this case, they're not going to be using teleprompters. They'll be looking at scripts that will tell them what to say. So the scripts are being written or are already written, and that's what they're going to be going off of. So will it be changed? Will it not be changed? I'm not sure, but I certainly am hopeful that that's the case, and that the party will be able to do something about it. But what are your thoughts on this, Rex?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the fact that there are professional politicians who, as you said, read the script and just kind of pander to their constituency while, you know, satisfying the lobbyists, you know, what Pat Goodell called the CLEC, the Consultant Lobbyist and Establishment Complex, goes without saying. But there are also real conservatives in the Republican Party. Now, you know, leading up to the convention after what we saw there, which is the clip you just played, which is just disgusting, we were talking about the Libertarian Party writing at Ron Paul, Constitution Party, because they illegally and illicitly forced a rhino, a liberal Democrat, at the top of the ticket. And that hurt Senate races and House races. Now, the Republicans managed to maintain control of the House, but to what end? John Boehner is handing everything Obama wants to him. So while the Republican Party may control the House, conservatives don't. But that tells you how the fact that they had to cheat shows you how weak that they are. Now, the real stars who are actually conservative are people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz in the Senate, Justin Amash in the House. And the fact that they're there is telling you one thing, and one thing that's very important to know. The rules for access to getting parties on ballots and primaries, conventions, caucuses, and on the tickets favor duopoly. It makes it damn near impossible for any other party to get on the ticket. Now, that has to be changed, but that's not going to be changed by 2014, and it's not going to be changed by 2016. So the only party on the national stage that can stand in the way of the Democratic Socialists, you know, the Democrat Party, the Obama, Hillary Clinton, Reid, Pelosi machine, is the Republican Party. Obviously, the rhinos cooperate with the Democrats other than in matters of rhetoric. But there are real conservatives, and that's what we have to do, is support those real conservatives and force the conservative agenda on the Republican Party. Now, it sounds kind of stupid that the alleged conservative party needs the grassroots to force conservatism on it, but it's not the first time we've been here. Same thing happened with Nixon. Look at what they did to Goldwater. Look at what they tried to do to Reagan. So, you know, it's not the first time that we've been here. Granted, it's probably never been this bad, but in my opinion, that just shows how weak the CLEC is. And the simple fact is they can't win. They can't win Senate seats, they can't win House seats, and they certainly can't win the presidency if they don't motivate the grassroots and the new fresh blood
that
Ron Paul drew new fresh blood into the party They told them to get the hell out, and then they turn around with their stupid autopsy and say, we have to appeal to women, Latinos, and young people. The party did that already.
You just kicked them out of the party.
Yeah.
The party was doing great, and you told them all to go the hell away and to go home. Well, and then as a result of the autopsy report, where they're going to, you know, go under the hood and find out what's wrong with the Republican Party, the people going under the hood are the problem with the Republican Party. So they came up with things that are purely tactical in nature, namely to reduce the number of debates because Mitt Romney sucks at debating. So let's not have him up there shooting his mouth off over and over again. So let's limit the number of public debates, although in a hat tip to Gingrich, they even discussed the possibility of having Lincoln-Douglas-style debates where the two candidates just talk about the issues, and they have a timekeeper with no moderator. Also, they're talking about shortening the primary campaigns because Priebus was saying that they shouldn't have as many primaries near Christmas time, so they want to push it after that, which would seem to be a rather innocuous thing to do, but really what it does is it compresses the primary season so that the person with the most amount of money and the person who has the mouthpiece on Fox News, like Karl Rove, will get the nomination, and it will reduce the chances for candidates that people actually are enthusiastic about that aren't being funded by, you know, mega corporations and the party machine will actually get through. And so the vast number of drones just sitting around watching Fox News, waiting for them to tell them what to do, will just go along with the establishment candidate, which is exactly what they want. And then the other concept that they come up with is to move up the actual convention earlier in the summer. And I can kind of go either way on that one, because once you have your nominating convention and you have an actual nominee, then it releases all the presidential funds and you get out of the primary funds limitation. So usually the person who's running and who's going to be the nominee is known by the end of the spring, early summer, and they've spent all their money and they can't spend any additional money until they get the nomination and the presidential campaign season starts. So that might make a bit of sense, although it could also be tactically really stupid if the Democrats don't move theirs up and then you're spending money for 3 months or 2 months, whatever it is, and then they get all their money all at once, and they outspend you through election day. So I don't know that I like any of those ideas. And regardless, I don't think any of those things are tactical points or reasons why we actually lost this time around. We made a strategic error in that we rallied around a crappy candidate that nobody liked and that pretty much was openly ridiculed both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. By everyone except the Republican Party establishment, who are the brightest guys in the room and made hundreds of millions of dollars on this campaign, nominating this guy and going down to a spectacular, spectacular defeat in November. So if that's the medicine for the party, you know, I don't know. I think that we're doomed. But the absurdity of the situation, yes, you do have some stupid people at the top or people at the top who are venal and, you know, motivated by self-interest, but the party is made up of thousands of people across the country and hundreds of thousands of activists and millions of voters, none of which are excited about where this party is going or who have a vested interest in going along with the current leadership and following them off a cliff. So there are some signs that the grassroots will be able to reassert itself and get control of the party, and we're in a rebuilding phase, and there's sort of a battle for control of the party. The rules changes were another one of the shots in the battle for control of the party. There have been a few of these since the election. Let's hope this one goes our way, but if it doesn't, it doesn't mean that it's the end. There's still other chances to fix this.
Well, I mean, look, I think that what we need to focus on. Look, the fact is that where is the country, okay? I mean, politically speaking, we're well down the socialist road, what Friedrich Hayek called the road to serfdom. We're well down this road. We've been going down it for 100 years, but it's been accelerating lately, and it wasn't just accelerating under Obama. It was accelerating dramatically under the Republican Party, chiefly Karl Rove being George W. Bush's brain, and the Rhino-led Congress. The last time the Republican Party wasn't taking us down this road as rapidly was when Gingrich was Speaker, blocking Clinton. But the country overwhelmingly is conservative, it properly defined. Most people don't have any clue what conservative means. It's just something that, you know, sends some people seeing red, like, you know, oh my God, conservatives are so evil, and other people who identify as conservatives have no idea how unconservative that they are. Conservative means you want to conserve the principles that are enshrined in liberal documents, chiefly the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. Now, the difference between, say, libertarians and conservatives today, for the most part, is conservatives tend to be more religious, more apt to champion the, quote, so-called social issues over economics or other considerations. That's pretty much the difference, but it's a very minor difference because most of the, quote, libertarians that are out there, like, oh, I don't know, Rand Paul, Ron Paul, they're just as Christian as your average conservative. So, you know, there's this kind of division that's being sown by the media that we can't get along. So the simple fact is it's the Constitution that unites people. It's liberty that unites people. That's what Ron Paul showed us. That's where the country is. People want to, for the most part, be left alone. They want the right to dispose of their property, you know, the way that they want. They want to own property, exchange property, and the property meaning, you know, money, jobs, labor, whatever, okay? And they want the federal government as much out of their way as possible. And that's what people are looking for. And that's what was offered by the Republican Party rhetorically. But few times do they deliver on it. So if you want to win elections, then you have to go where the people are. Now, if you're going to try to appeal to people on diversity, skin color, redefinition of marriage or anything else like that, it's not going to work because there's already a party that's been doing that and that has been successful doing that, and you're not going to be able to outcompete them, and that's the Democrat Party. So if the solution of this autopsy for the Republicans is to be more like the Democrats, why would anybody who's conservative want to support the Republican Party, and anybody who's, quote, liberal already has a party. So the only, you know, it's like any typical sales job, okay? Differences sell, similarities don't, all right? You know, you got McDonald's and you got Burger King. McDonald's sells you cheap crap that tastes like, for the most part these days, poop, but they have their, you know, Happy Meal shtick, right? Burger King has the, you know, have it your way shtick. They're both selling you a burger, but they've both got a kind of a different angle. Well,
Burger
both parties are trying.
Boiled.
There you go.
Flame broiled.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's the differentiation.
Flame broiled flavoring, you know. It's not really flame broiled, but anyway, whatever. But there's a difference. And the difference between the two parties of duopoly has been reduced to a rhetorical difference. But the fact is that both of them trying to sell you a politician and an agenda. Now, the Democrats are selling you this, you know, feel good, bleeding heart, you know, peace and love and social justice agenda. Of course, what they deliver for you is George Bush's fourth term, more drone killings, more wars, more statism. So the liberals are being duped. Well, you know, let them fix their own party. On this side, the GOP side, okay, and I'm talking only on the national stage here, they're supposed to be selling us a smaller, less intrusive government, a constitutional system of lower taxation, okay, and a foreign policy of strong defense. Instead, what we've got is more taxes, and the way that they raise your taxes, maybe they don't raise your rate, but they cut your deductions, which is the same thing. It's just a rhetorical difference. And they have more corporatism, so they favor large corporations, which basically fund these campaigns as opposed to Main Street small business. And then foreign policy, I mean, it's nothing but interventionism and adventurism, which we cannot afford, neither blood nor treasure. Now, strong defense doesn't mean you got to go kicking everybody's ass all over the world to deliver democracy, but it means that if somebody messes with you, then you can take them out pretty quick. So that's what people want, and that's where the voters are. So the Republican Party has to appeal to that base. Now, if they only appeal rhetorically and they keep going down the other road, eventually, you know, people get upset. You know, some people have, you know, quote, battered spouse syndrome, and, you know, well, there's no other spouse, I'm going to go back to this one and let them treat me like crap, okay? And other people are saying, what the hell with you? I'm leaving. Enough people in the last presidential election said, this is a lie, to hell with it, I'm leaving, to cause Roe's monster to lose to a guy who got 13% less votes. Now, just from a pragmatic standpoint, forget political ideology, Tex, wouldn't you just change tactics on the simple fact that you've had spectacular losses irrespective of your ideas regarding politics? Wouldn't you just change tactics anyway?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the way that they have been running things is always this mindset, and this is Karl Rove's idea, is that 30% of the population always votes for Democrats, 30% always votes for Republicans, and what you're fighting over are the moderates and independents. And notice they always list the moderates first, but the moderates and independents in the middle. And what the moderates and independents want is for the two sides to get along and to be basically carbon copies of one another, because Washington's not working. Okay, well, I think if you talk to most Americans, they would say, yeah, Washington's not working. What they're not saying is Washington's not working together. What they're saying is Washington is taking this country in completely the wrong direction. And what they want to see less of is the two parties working together to rapidly advance the country in the direction that we don't want to go. What they want to see are people standing up there taking principled stands, slowing things down, and turning it in a different direction, getting power away from Washington back to the states, and quit spending so much fucking money that you don't have. That's what people want. So they ask, is Washington working? No, Washington isn't working. We'd like Washington to work, right? Well, it doesn't mean that we want to see two parties that are exactly the same, two Keynesian parties that are trying to one-up each other on how much money they can spend every time that they get the reins of power. And that's exactly what the current Republican leadership is trying to do. They're trying to say, oh, okay, well, you know, we've been driving around a Camaro. It turns out you guys like Corvettes. Well, we got rid of our Camaro, and now we have a Corvette, too, but it's painted slightly different, and we have a Volkswagen engine in it, and, you know, we have all these other modifications that don't make it exactly like that Corvette, but it's pretty dang close, and we think it's a, you know, banging good vehicle, and you ought to drive this thing instead of their thing, and that people are going to go for that. That's not what happens. That's not how decisions are made. That's not how decisions are made in purchasing decisions. That's not how decisions are made in political terms either. And even if it were, and some number of Democrats broke off from the Democrat Party and went over and gotten the knockoff imitation Corvette party, you still have the vast majority of the American people are unserved by the two political parties. People want to go in a completely different direction from that. Where are they going to go? Well, then you have the rise of the second party that says, okay, look, we like the, you know, to continue the car metaphor, we like the Mustang. And that's what we want. And we're not getting Mustangs. All we're getting are Corvettes here. So, you know, where's that party? And that party will rise and people will go to it. And then the imitation party will fade and the real Corvette party will stick around, or the imitation, you know, Corvette party will meld into the other one. So being an imitation party is not the solution to your problems. You know, you have to create a difference. There has to be a difference between the two choices. Otherwise, you're not serving the populace. And that's going to be a problem, and you're going to lose your base. And that's exactly what's happening. And right now, that base has nowhere to go. So you have a whole bunch of people that aren't going to participate in the political process, and that's bad for you, because I don't see them getting all that many Democrats to come over to their side, if any. If anything, they're openly mocking where the party is trying to go now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the simple fact that John McCain can't understand why Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are going to filibuster any Senate bills that seek to curtail the Second Amendment just shows you how out of touch these fools are. I mean, it is just unbelievable. You know, John McCain seems to think that this is, the Senate is like, you know, some elite debating society. No, Senator McCain, the Senate is designed to represent the states at the federal level and to uphold and defend the Constitution. That's what it's for. That's what Rand Paul's doing. That's what Ted Cruz is doing. And douchebag, stale moss, fucktards like John McCain and Lindsey Graham are the problem. They don't attract people because they're repulsive. They don't attract people because they're liars. They don't attract people because they don't represent the American people's desire for liberty. That's why this party's losing. Now, these rules that they put in place ensure that this is the mentality, this stagnant, consultant, you know, focus-tested bullcrap mentality continues despite what anybody wants to do. This is the message you have to get out to the 168 RNC committeemen to change these rules so the grassroots can have a voice. Now, look, it's real simple, Tex. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe the American people don't want this liberty. Maybe they don't want conservatism. Fine. Then have the rules open so that there can be contentious debate in primaries and there can be contentious debate in picking the candidates, and then let your rhino win. But see, they know that nobody will elect a guy like Mitt Romney. Republicans hated that guy. Republicans. I'm not even talking about, you know, Ron Paul supporters or Newt Gingrich supporters or anybody, you know, who had kind of anything other than, you know, the party unity in mind. They didn't like Romney. They just thought he was the next douchebag in line.
Yeah, well, after all their choices were exhausted and their only viable alternative that was given to them by the media, or quote viable because it's never viable, was Rick Santorum, a lot of people just completely turned off to the entire primary. They're just completely fed up with where things were going. And then when it was clear that it was Romney, they're like, all right, well, I guess it's going to be Romney, so we all have to drink the hemlock and, you know, go down to the bottom of the sea with this piece of shit candidate. Well, that's what happened, and you went down to the bottom of the sea, and, you know, look at where the party is now. It's in complete, utter disarray. But, you know, just like they were saying in The Life of Brian, don't be disheartened. One total catastrophe is like this is just what we need to get ourselves back up and moving again. So I think overall it's healthy, and, you know, we are seeing some healthy signs, which is that, you know, people need to be doing something, and people are doing things out there to affect the rules. So you should be tweeting your RNC members. Every state has three members of the RNC. You need to be getting in touch with them, calling, tweeting them personally, directly, talking to your state parties and stating that you want these rules changed and that you think the GOP is completely heading in the wrong direction and that Ben Ginsburg was wrong and what the Romney campaign was doing was wrong, because trying to change the rules like that shows panic on their part. They couldn't believe that people hated them. Why wouldn't Republicans want a liberal Democrat running at the top of their ticket? He has an R by his name. He expressed affiliation and affinity for elephant. What more does this party need? So they tried to change the rules. The other thing is that the pressure is working. Look at Karl Rove. He goes out and says some stupid things about how he's going to support this or create a PAC that's going to get rid of conservative candidates when they're running. He gets challenged by this by Brent Lozell, among other people, and within a few days he's climbing down, and he's hiding behind Rand Paul in order to do that. So,
that's a joke. Karl Rove is now taking credit for helping get Rand Paul elected. I mean, come on. Who buys this bullshit? Sorry.
People watching Fox News, apparently. They buy it. They believe it. Oh, well, they said that, so it must be true. And then recently, John McCain was out there talking about the filibuster and saying that people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz were wacko birds for going out and filibustering the drone issue. And he then went on Fox News and publicly apologized and said that he probably used too harsh a word. Well, they don't come out and do that unless they receive some pressure. So it seems like every time these establishment candidates try to take on the base, they come back cap in hand and have to apologize or stand down, or they get some sort of drubbing that makes them change their tune. So all I can say is keep up the pressure, because the party is hearing the message, and even if you think that they're not actually changing their intent or methodology or tactics, they are at least going out there and saying, hey, sorry, but, you know, that's good to say that you apologize for screwing everything up and being a general douchebag. But the important thing is making sure that the grassroots wins, we get control of this party, it goes back to being a conservative party, and we have people in office who actually believe the things that they say that they're running on, because the surest way to lose support is to put up a bunch of leaders who say one thing and do something else when they get into Washington, because people will quickly realize that it's all a ruse and a fake, and they'll stop supporting that party pretty quickly. And that, I think, is what's happening to the Republican Party.
Yeah. And look, there's a lot of people. I hear from a lot of people, texts, who just sort of, you know, to hell with the Republican Party. I don't want to mess with it anymore. Hey, you know what? This is what the Republican Party is going to be. I applaud you. But here's the thing. What else are you going to do? I mean, everybody thinks that the problem is specifically in the Republican Party. It's not. The problem is in your state. Your state has certain rules and laws and procedures and bureaucratic nightmares to get on a ballot, to have a primary, to have a convention, to get people to come and vote for your candidate. It's damn near impossible at the federal level because of state laws to elect somebody who is not a Republican or a Democrat. Now, there are a few, right? There's Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist in the Senate. You've also got Joe Lieberman, who used to be a Democrat, and then they kind of went after him, and he ran as an independent. But neither one of them is running, you know, as a third party. They basically caucus with the Democrats. Until you get victories at the local and state level of significant numbers for alternate parties and change these rules, you're not going to have another option at the federal level. So you got two choices, and it sucks. Okay, your choices are the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. Now, if you are a libertarian, a constitutionalist, even if you're a conservative Democrat, or you're just, you know, a traditional conservative, the Democratic Party is not for you. So your choice is the Republican Party. Now, the way the Republican Party has been behaving, I can understand why you wouldn't want to support them. However, if you don't, then what you're basically saying is let the Democrats win. That is a very dangerous thing, because if you think that Barack Obama is a problem now, okay, with John Boehner handing him the money, imagine how much more of a problem he will be when he's got Reid in the Senate and Pelosi running the House. Because that's what's going to happen if you allow the Republican Party to lose in 2014. What you need to do, instead of giving up on it, is not supporting their rhino crap, okay? But what you need to do is find the people who work, like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, and support them directly. Don't give any money to the party. Don't give any money to the RNC. Send it directly to the conservative and libertarian candidates and send in reinforcements. And, you know, take a look at – go ahead.
That's one of the other things you need to do is be careful where you send your money. At the moment, I would not encourage sending it to the RNC, because the RNC is in the hands of the establishment and they're using it to support their causes. If you're talking about candidates in an election, give directly to those candidates in that election. If your state party is good and it's a grassroots party, not an establishment party, I would give money to your state party as well to support candidates. But as much as possible, I would give directly to the candidates that you like and not give to the party apparatus itself, because it's out of control and it's actively working to shut down your voice. Why would you fund an organization that is actively going, changing the rules so that you have no voice in the party? It's like funding your own destruction. So,
well, exactly.
go ahead.
Don't give them any money.
and make them know
how pissed off you are. Right, Tex? I mean, tell them how pissed off you are. I mean, the thing is that look at what happened, and this is a great analysis, okay, because, you know, everybody's concern is either A, you know, we need party unity, so don't, you know, the Tex and Reich show was bad because they're causing division, and other people are like, you know, to hell with the Republican Party, you guys are telling me to get with the Republican Party. I mean, we're getting attacked from all sides here, and the reason for that is because when you kind of take an ideological camp and stick your head in it, and play a ideological game, even if it happens to be principled. If it isn't comporting with reality, you're doomed. So, you know, while you might love another candidate who's not in any of these parties, okay, if there's a local candidate, support them, get them in office, build a party, that's great. But until you do that, you're going to have to find a Republican. Now, there are Republicans and there are Republicans. Okay, there's John McCain Republicans and there's Rand Paul Republicans. So what you need to do is find a candidate. Starve the beast. Don't give money to the organization. Give it directly to the candidate so they can run a campaign. You know who your candidates are in your state. Look them up. Look at their records. And not just their voting records, because those can be adjusted, but look at their general record and what they stand for and what they do. Okay, you got some people who are tagging along with this filibuster thing because it's popular and because they're feeling pressure from their constituency. But are they really principled about it? Well, you know, Ted Cruz got up there to support Rand Paul for he spoke, I think, for an hour and 20 minutes extemporaneously because he lives, eats, and breathes conservatism. Another one who's very divisive and people have different opinions about this particular person is Sarah Palin. You either hate her or you love her. Well, let's take a step back and let's get real, okay? She picks winning candidates way more than Karl Rove. And whether you agree with her totally or not, or you thought she'd be a good vice president or not, irrelevant. The fact is that she is now making moves to support real conservatives. And you're going to have to get...
When she doesn't have $1 billion to spend, and she doesn't have a platform on Fox News like Karl Rove does, how could she do that? You need $1 billion in a massive media campaign to win.
Apparently that's not true. Yeah, I mean, look, those things do sway certain people. All right, certain people who never pay attention except they show up at the poll every 4 years and pull a lever. All right, they're going to vote for the R or the D no matter what. But that's not who wins elections. You can see it last time, right? I mean, look at how many people were so pissed off with what happened in Tampa, who hated Romney so much that they were willing to vote for Gary Johnson, Virgil Goode, stay home, write in Ron Paul, enough to actually cause Romney to lose. Now, some people say, oh, see, that's what happened. They voted third party and they gave us Obama. No, Romney gave you Obama. Because had a real candidate, and I don't know who would have been the best choice. Is it Ron Paul? Is it Newt Gingrich? For all I know, maybe it was Michelle Bach, but it doesn't matter. If you'd run anybody, almost anybody other than Mitt Romney, you would have probably beat Obama. I mean,
that reminds me. Remember the poem by Edgar Allan Poe, the quote, "The Raven," you know, "The Raven." And then, you know, he opens up his door, you know, suddenly there came a tapping, you know, tapping at my chamber door. And then he opened it up, and there was nothing outside. You know what would have been scarier than nothing? Anything. Same thing with Romney. Anything would have been better than running that guy. And everyone was trying to tell them the entire time to run an actual conservative candidate. Everyone was saying they didn't like Romney. We didn't like him in 2008. We don't like him now. We don't want him. We don't want to put up with him. We don't want to deal with him. And yet they ran him anyway. I just want to say that we are past our first 30-minute segment. So for callers who want to dial in, the call-in number is 646-649-1013. Once again, that number is 646-649-1013. And I show that we have one of our favorite guests of the show who's called in. And this, of course, I believe, is our good friend, Trog.
Free by the teen angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first...
God. Okay, that's enough of that. How's it going, Trog?
Good, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Happy to have you here.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I've actually done glacial hopping and climbing.
You know, you are Captain Caveman.
when I lived up there. Yeah, you've never done anything in your life until you've crawled down in an ice cave, and under pressure, ice is blue. It's almost like molten plastic. And
wow.
That's pretty wild stuff.
Can we send Karl Rove there?
I got a couple spots.
I'm pretty sure under almost any circumstance I would not be crawling into an ice cave. Did want to point out we do have a caller from area code 720. I'm not sure who this is, but I will let them through and see what they have on their mind. So 720, you are live at the Tex and Rex Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I'm reading your title, Get Back, Take Back America. I want to ask you one question. When did you lose America? When had you lost your country that you got to want to, like, seem like you want to go in war with the government of our own country when we got soldiers dying around the world fighting for every American in this country? So when had
who
you
said
lost
anything, who said anything about going to war with the government?
A lot of that coming out, because when you're seeing a bunch of people walking around talking about, we want our country back, you're going to rallies with your guns, keep your guns in your house. What is this all about? Did this one man just drove a whole group of people just up the wall and just made y'all nuts all of a sudden?
I don't really know what
you're
hold on a second. Do you know what tonight's
like
topic is?
Y'all sound like a bunch of whining women.
Okay.
I mean,
never been accused of that one before.
Y'all sound like a bunch of whining women.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you like paying taxes?
We've been paying taxes since America been here.
No, we haven't. When was the income tax instituted?
Well, you know what? You're talking about taxes. The president ain't raised nobody taxes, okay?
No. Let me ask. Why don't you go ahead and answer my question since you're on my show? When was the income tax instituted?
I ain't talking about the tax. I'm talking about where your mind is. Why your mind got to be on hate?
I'm asking you where your mind is. You said we've been paying taxes since the beginning of the country, and that's just not true. So I'm asking you, when was the income tax instituted? What year?
Did you
was it 1776? Was it 1789?
Do you hate human beings?
I'm not talking about human beings. I'm talking about taxes.
Hold on. All right, I muted him for a second. We can't have an unfocused conversation based on invective and nonsense that you're just throwing out there based on not listening to what we're talking about. We're talking about the disparity between the grassroots of the Republican Party and the current leadership of the Republican Party, and how the two parties essentially operate as a duopoly. They're accomplishing the same goals in Washington despite the rhetorical differences. And you're talking about God only knows what and running in 9,000 directions. And whenever we try to answer one of your points, accusations, diatribes, you kind of wander into 9 million directions. So I'm going to bring you back on, and, you know, we'll try to stay a little more focused this time. And then, you know, if we can't stay focused, then, you know, we're going to have to let you go. But so here's another shot. Give us a point that you want to talk about, and we'll stick on that topic for a bit. Here you go, 720, you're back live.
The points that I want to talk about, if you don't mind, is the guns.
The what?
Is what?
The guns in America.
Okay. What do you want to say about them?
This is my point of the guns. Why do we need something that can walk inside a school and shoot 20 babies and 6 beautiful teachers who were just doing their jobs because that's their right that they can have that? Why?
I don't know anybody
shotgun?
Who's for that.
Huh?
I don't know anybody who supports that. So, you know,
okay.
Maybe you're thinking of a different show that supports that, but that's not us.
But don't you think they need to take the bullets down to, like, you can shoot 2 or 3, 4 times? Why do you got to have a machine gun and go inside a school and kill a bunch of kids? Because you can get it that easy because you don't want to do no gun check and no background checks. And why are you against all that?
Do you know what show you called into, or did you just randomly hit us up on the dial?
This is a conservative show that's down for when Cheney and Bush put that war together and half of America got behind the war. So that was like
you think that we're Bush Cheney supporters? Is this the first time you've heard of the show?
Yeah.
Are you just trolling Blog Talk Radio?
The first time you listen to the show.
Because I think you're a little confused about what we're talking about. We're not talking about guns. We're not talking about, you know, Bush and Cheney. We're talking about the Republican Party representing its constituency or not. So I'm going to take a wild guess and say that you're probably not a Republican voter. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay.
I think
very
the
good.
Republican Party destroyed America.
Really?
30 years ago when they put Reagan in the White House.
Oh,
really,
yeah, Reagan destroyed America.
I think Reagan,
Bush, before Reagan showed up.
I think they way of thinking and what they did to this country – put this America in this position. We had 30 years of that madness, and I think they're the reason why.
Reagan was in office for 30 years.
I'm talking about both of the Bushes and Reagan. You add it up, it comes to about 28 years.
Do you think that those people are similar? Do you think both Bushes and Ronald Reagan are in any way
similar? They all was in the same clique.
They were in the same clique. Okay.
Oh,
so is Obama in the same clique as Bill Clinton?
Obama cleaning up their mess, homie, and whether you want to get it or not.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah,
Obama's cleaning up their mess. He got us out of the wars, right? Obama ended the wars, right? Obama
ended
the wars.
He ended the wars and he cut the deficit, right?
He added to the debt. You're right about that. But you know what? It didn't go on. And everything he was trying to do to create jobs. See, you conservatives don't want nothing made in America no more. Y'all lie like you want to. But you guys have destroyed this country. Y'all got us the laughing stock of the world. Y'all are embarrassed.
Oh, my
this is
God.
What, this is what
yeah, it, wasn't, it wasn't Bill. It wasn't Bill Clinton who signed NAFTA.
Bill Clinton left it in good hands. Soon as that
yeah,
other
yeah, he signed NAFTA. That was
so
in good hands.
You know what? He left. We didn't have a deck. So Bush got in there, and then he started.
Oh, we didn't have a deck.
Oh, really?
I'm glad the fact
wait, you like what Bill Clinton did?
Yeah,
you like
it? Bill had
let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you like that Bill Clinton balanced the budget 4 years in a row? Do you like that Bill Clinton balanced the? Do you like that Bill Clinton balanced the budget 4 years in a row?
Yep, because he had two parties that were trying to work together.
Hold on. I'm just asking. Do you like that he did that? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like that he cut capital gains taxes, the largest tax cut in history? Do you like
that? But you know what? When he left the
I'm asking if
the
you
White
like
House.
It. I didn't
yeah,
ask
I
you
it.
Ask me a question.
I,
you liked
he,
it. Okay.
He had
did,
to do
did
what
you,
he had to do. Yeah, I like
did
it.
Did you like that? Did you like that he reformed welfare so that more people could get jobs and make the program cheaper for the taxpayers?
So now you want to talk about the welfare of people.
No. I'm asking if you
like
you brought
yeah,
up you
like
brought
that
up Bill Clinton.
Whether or not you support them.
I like
I'm asking.
Yes, I liked it. Because this is America.
You like that.
We supposed to take care of all people when they get down
perfect.
And out.
Okay.
This is America.
Okay. Excellent. Okay.
Excellent.
I was just
I
asking if you liked it. Tex, go ahead.
Okay,
tell them what's good about those things.
What's good about it? Because you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you what's good.
He's asking me. Hold on.
He
asked me. Well, actually, why don't you explain why you think it's good, and then I'll tell you something
what
about
I think
it
what's good about them things for people, this is my opinion. See, when we had a country that had jobs 20 minutes from people's houses, then in them years that Reagan and Bush was in, so many jobs went across seas, and people started losing their jobs, blacks and white. So they had to turn to some of they'd be like all the other countries, being homeless people. See, they picked them up when our own people, government, shipped all their jobs somewhere else, so they had to eat. So people act like nothing written wrong. So many jobs went across the sea, and people lost their jobs, they had to eat. And if our government stepped up and took care of them people the way they did, that shouldn't be no problem. Because we had a lot of...
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think you'll find interesting about what Bill Clinton did is that Bill Clinton came in and he governed far left, and he governed as a big spending Democrat, and he was historically unpopular when he was doing that, and as a result, the Tea Party of its age, which was the Newt Gingrich Contract with America revolution, came in, and the Republicans got control of the White House, House of Representatives for the first time in about 60 years, and they went through and they forced a balanced budget, and Bill Clinton signed it. But the balanced budget was an act of the conservative, the fiscal conservative wing of the Republican Party, which is what we're talking about here on this show. And we encourage everybody, to think beyond their own party, because this isn't a sports team where your team has one jersey and the other team has another jersey, and they go at it, and if your jersey wins, it's good for the country. This is actually a country where policies matter and governing effectively is important. And the president is only one of several people who were in Washington. And balancing the budget, Bill Clinton obviously gets credit because he sat down with Newt Gingrich and they were able to work together to come to a solution to balancing the budget. And those are the only balanced budgets we have known in our lifetime. And that effort should be applauded. But if you're going to applaud it, you have to understand that that came about because conservatives in the Republican Party took the leadership of the party and took it in the right direction, which is a fiscal conservative direction, to correct that, and that the establishment Republicans constantly fought against that. So earlier you had been equating Ronald Reagan with George Bush. Well, George Bush Sr. did not like Ronald Reagan at all. In fact, most of the Republican establishments, what we call the rhinos, are against people like Reagan and conservatives getting into the party and certainly getting in party leadership. They fought tooth and nail to keep Reagan out successfully in 76. They fought unsuccessfully in 1980, but nearly successfully, because I think it wasn't until about April that Ronald Reagan finally started pulling ahead of George Bush. And even then, he only managed to get rid of the a lot of the establishment opposition that he was encountering when he agreed to put George Bush Sr. on the ticket. So there's a vast difference between George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan. They had no philosophical agreement whatsoever. I mean, recall it was George Bush Sr. who called Reaganomics voodoo economics. And if you talk about what's been happening in the country for the last 30 years and blaming Reagan, well, I would say that I don't think the country was doing terribly well under Carter. I don't think it was doing terribly well in the latter ages of Richard Nixon either. And a lot of this has to do with you had the oil crisis back then, but also we got off the gold standard. And when you got off the gold standard, the price of commodities started fluctuating like crazy, and the price of everything started going up, and the value of the dollar started dropping precipitously. And that is one of the critiques that Ron Paul uniquely has brought to the election that resonates with a lot of people, is that control of the currency has been lost by the government, and the money that we're being paid in is not worth the metal that it's printed on in many cases. Look at the penny. So that's one of the chief problems that that the country has been experiencing over this period. And so now, once you understand that, how do you get out of this situation? Where do we go? How do we get out of this, you know, economic recession that we're in and get back into economic prosperity? Well, one of the first things you need is sound money. One of the other things you need is for the government not to be borrowing every available loanable dollar in the economy so that there is money that can be loaned out to you as a citizen, and that you can start building the wealth back up. So, Rex, do you have any thoughts on that? I'll turn it over to you, and then I'll turn it over to Trot.
Well, I would just I'm surprised at the way that this conversation went, but I appreciate that the gentleman called in. I just think that this is a great example of how both the Democrats and the Republicans have got us pitted against each other over bromides and platitudes, because everything that this gentleman liked about what the Democrat president of the 90s, Bill Clinton, did were mostly revenue bills, which originate in the House according to the Constitution, and therefore they have to be credited to the Speaker of the House, who happened to be a Republican at the time. His name was Speaker Newt Gingrich. There's no reason why a Democrat who believes in the Constitution and believes in sound economics wouldn't be in favor of what Newt Gingrich did and what Bill Clinton signed. And that's how bipartisanship is supposed to work. But for the most part, bipartisanship works by keeping us divided and pitted against each other, whether it's between Democrats and Republicans or between conservatives and non-conservative Republicans. And then the bipartisanship is things like John Boehner, who's like the anti-Gingrich speaker, funding everything that Obama wants. And everything Obama wants is precisely more of what George Bush did. But yet, as a
Absolutely.
Democratic voter, we're supporting Obama for doing the same things. More wars, more national security rhetoric, which is really nothing more than curtailing of liberties and the institution of a police state, more debt, more borrowing, more economic chaos. If you didn't like it when George Bush did it, why do you like it when Obama does it at a higher level?
Absolutely, Rex, and that was one of the key confusions, I thought, which is Obama's doing a great job. He's doing the best job he can. I like Bill Clinton because he balanced the budget. Well, Obama came in stating that George Bush took out a credit card for $5 trillion from the Bank of China and borrowed it against our children's future, and then Obama comes in and he takes that credit card for $10 trillion out and does even more, spends twice as fast as George Bush does. So that's not a Republican or Democrat thing. That is a Washington establishment problem, which is what we're trying to address here on this show. And so it kind of speaks to this division that's been created artificially in people's mind, where they are on either one team or the other team, when in reality the two teams are playing the same game, but wearing different jerseys as if they're actually opposed when they're not. But now let me turn it over to Trog to give your thoughts on the little magical mystery tour we just took. Also, before I do that, I just want to thank our caller for calling in. It takes a lot of guts to call in, and you know, I appreciate the call. You know, if it were a bit more focused, it probably would have been more useful, but thanks for dialing in. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was still trying to keep up with it all. You know, those were talking points left and right. It actually saddens me to think that people are so ill-informed that they don't even understand history, politics, who's doing what to who. I mean, it's like Rex said, you know, NAFTA, you know, that was Clinton. That was the beginning of the end, you know, in a huge segment of our manufacturing in this country. And there's none of us three here that are going to stand on, you know, on the right side of Republicans and make excuses for Republicans. We beat them up every day. And if anybody listens to our shows, they know that we are not, you know, our side against your side. We are equal opportunity bastards. You know, we're about the Constitution and freedom and liberty. And, yeah, it's sad to think that people actually think they understand what this country, how it works, and what's really broken, and, you know, who's responsible for what, you know, depending on the party, you know. Because you can go back to Nixon and say, oh, he gave us EPA, which was, you know, the beginning of Agenda 21, and he took us off, finally took us off the end of the gold standard, and then you go to Clinton. I mean, you know, we can pick and choose, you know, the good and bad, the ugly, with every president that has come, you know, through office. And that's where people's minds need to be, because if they don't, if we don't educate ourselves, or I'm not willing to be educated, then we're just sheep for the slaughter, and it's getting really close to slaughter day.
Well, absolutely.
So, anyway,
I mean,
it's just sad.
Everyone's stuck on this concept of my team right or wrong. I'm a Republican, so therefore everything the Republicans do is okay. This is what I hate about the Sean Hannity, among the many things I hate about the Sean Hannity show. But Republicans are always right. Republicans, rah, rah, rah. They never do anything wrong, and I never have any critique of them. And when they get into office and they start doing the opposite of what they say, they'll go ahead and cheerlead for it. You know, I don't think that's very effective. And this, you see this in voters. You see this in the person who just called in. You know, oh, he's a Democrat, so I support the Democrats. Because everything Bill Clinton did was great, even though everything Barack Obama has done is the exact opposite of the things that Clinton did that he said that he liked. Interestingly, Barack Obama has consistently governed for the 4-plus years that he's been in the White House now in the way that Clinton governed in the first 2 years of his presidency that was historically unpopular. And people voted against when they picked Newt Gingrich and put Gingrich in office. And this led to the Tea Party coming in 2010, because people were like, we've already seen this with Bill Clinton's first 2 years. We didn't like this. Now we're going to do something about it. We're going to put the Republican Party in charge. We're going to put these Tea Party candidates in Washington. They're going to do something to address the deficit. And unfortunately, they selected John Boehner, who's the very guy who got rid of Newt Gingrich as Speaker of the House, who's the guy who came up with the budget that balanced the federal budget that Bill Clinton signed that this guy says he likes so much. So, you know, there's a level of confusion, but you have to have some political sophistication, know who the players are, know what the game is, and what's going on before you just dial in and start, I don't even know, calling out a bunch of talking points and shouting in 9 million different directions and accusing people of things that they never said or thought in the first place just to pretend to win a political argument.
It's sad. It really is. It's saddening. But the positive thing is 2014 is right around the corner. And Rex said something earlier, or both of you did, about Palin gearing up, loading for bear. And a lot of good things are going on. It's one of the things that I've been really trying to get my head wrapped around and help other people get their minds wrapped around, because people are still flailing around in the pain of loss of 2012, which us three, I know, don't consider it a loss at all. The only sad part about Romney losing is that he took a couple down ballots with him, but as far as him losing, hey, thank God. because now we can get our damn party back, you know, and do what we came here to do. But, you know, I look at what Rand Paul's been doing. I look at what Cruz has been doing. I mean, it is amazing to me how much energy and focus people have had on, you know, starting with the filibuster and, you know, these guys starting to get fired up. Now we got, like, what, 17 senators getting ready to filibuster with Rand Paul over the gun issue coming up here in a couple days, you know, over Reid trying to shove this socialistic agenda down our throat. You know, Rand Paul just started a movement. And you know what's amazing to me, guys? This is not heroic. It's yeah, I mean, it's cool that one guy stood up and said, hey, I care about the Constitution. Hey, I care that you don't get, you know, droned in a cafe, you know, whatever, the, you know, the story may be. But, you know, I care about the Bill of Rights. I care about, you know, due process. And everybody, like, freaked the hell out. And I'm thinking, well, he's Tea Party guy. That's what we voted him in for. He's doing what we voted him in for. And if all those people that we voted in, those 60-some senators and House reps, would have been doing what Rand Paul is doing, you know, and that Jim DeMint did, okay, then it would just be the norm. And Boehner wouldn't have got reelected. And it's just amazing to me. You know, it's amazing to me, Tex, that everybody's so like, wow, and I'm thinking this is just normal. This is the way it should be. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, this is a chamber that bills itself as the greatest deliberative body on earth, and now it can't handle filibuster, it can't handle actual debates, does everything, throws it out of committee with crappy rules on it to limit debate in order to ram things through. That doesn't seem like the acts of the world's greatest deliberative body. If you have the world's greatest deliberative body, use it, for God's sakes. Get up there and start giving speeches. Start having the debate. Because by Rand Paul doing what he was doing, even though ultimately he didn't carry the day in terms of the legislation, he raised the issue and he has people talking about it. That's the important thing. If you have the greatest deliberative body, start the debate so that Americans can have the conversation among themselves and people can be informed. And we start having conversations that matter rather than conversations about, you know, political parties as if they're sports teams. So we're going to have another debate over the gun issue. And already I'm seeing people are saying, well, I don't know why we're going to have the debate over that because the issue's been decided. But we should have a debate. We should have people willing to grab the microphone, go up there, stand, say their piece, you know, rally with their fellow senators who support what they're doing, have them give speeches on the same topic and have a debate over the topic. That's what the Senate's for. That's why the rules are the way they are. And of course, Harry Reid is looking at changing the rules in order to shut that down because God knows the last thing Americans should be doing is talking about and thinking about the legislation that we're passing before we pass it.
Yeah, and especially the fact... Sorry.
We need to pass the bill in order to find out what's in it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. It's just like the whole gun argument. You know, we started my first show. Was started with my son on the gun, you know, coming out of the Connecticut massacre, because
first
I knew
show.
The libs were going to run.
First
my,
13
yeah.
shows.
Yeah, but that was the first one we did, and we were saying back then that these people are lying. They're lying about the statistics. They're lying about, you know, they're talking about assault rifles. Number one, they're not assault rifles. Number two, rifles are the smallest percentage, you know, of weapons used. Number three, this 40%, you know, loophole is a lie. It was based on pre-Brady Bill, you know, background check law. You know, I mean, it was they were spitting lies all over the place. And if they're running with legislation based on lies, you damn right we need a frickin' filibuster and an honest debate. And it should be this way with everything. Immigration reform, I don't give a crap what it is. These guys set in these little committees, these gang aid or gang bang what, you know, and have these little conversations and stroke each other's backs and who knows what else. But, you know, and they come out and go, here you go. Here's what the rest of the country is going to suffer through. Here's what we produce. And let's pass it, and then you can read it. It's just what Tex just said. This is wrong. This is not America. You know, I mean, maybe I'm naive, but this has got to change. This is insanity.
Absolutely.
Right?
Rex, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with the two of you, and I think this here's the simple fact, okay? It's easy to complain, and we're pointing out a lot of things that are bad, but, you know, there's a difference between complaining and identifying a problem, okay? It's easy to complain. I mean, that's what they do on the news. You know, you mentioned, and last week you got me all riled up because you kept on mentioning Rick Santorum. This week it's friggin' Sean Hannity, but you mentioned him, all right? What Sean Hannity does is he just finds the latest, you know, thing to bitch about, and he bitches about it. And sometimes that bitching lasts for like 2 years. You know, he's been bitching about, you know, U.S. of KKK, Bel Air's living room, you know, all that crap. You know, and it's just complaint after complaint after complaint, and they're not necessarily invalid. But complaining about something is pointless. Identifying a problem, now that's worth it. It's worth it to identify a problem. However, here's the thing. If you identify a problem, you'd better have a solution. Otherwise, you're just complaining. So, you know, the simple fact is, what's the problem? And then what's the solution? Well, the problem, the overarching problem is, we're spending money we don't have. We have an unstable money supply run by a private bank. We're overextending our military capacity, we're going to break the force. We're ignoring the Constitution principally through things like the Department of Homeland Defense, which is instituting a police state right here at home, which, you know, if you're not the target of the police state, it doesn't seem that bad. But guess what? In a police state, eventually you'll become the target. So you don't want it. And the fact is that you have to appeal to these principles rather than particular issues, depending on how you feel about it. Because, you know, if it's your guy in charge and giving him all the unconstitutional power sounds like a good idea, and then the other guy's guy gets in charge and you're like, oh, wait a minute, he has too much power. Precisely why we have a constitution. So those problems transcend party. That's just the problem of America. How do you fix it? Well, we had this debate over 200 years ago. And the tool that was developed to fix this problem is the Constitution. It provides for dual sovereignty, it provides for checks and balances, and it questions the integrity of every single office holder. That's what people fail to understand. While everybody's out here rah, 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 looking for a savior, you know, do you think Rand Paul will be good in 2016? What about Marco Rubio? I wonder what Ted Cruz is going to do. Will Hillary run? Who gives a shit? Are you looking for a king? Do you really want a king? Because we fought a war to get rid of a king. You want a king? Move back to England or, you know, Africa or Europe or Asia or wherever the hell you want to be that, where there are kings. We don't have a king here. We don't want one. Okay? So they gave us the Constitution, which questions the integrity of every person. That doesn't mean that you don't elect people of virtue. You'd better do that. But in case you don't, and I would argue that 200 and some years of history has shown us that tends to happen sometimes. The Constitution is designed to have systems in place where you have levers at your disposal to check their corruption and eject them. Okay? So specifically for conservatives, the mechanism with which to do that, given the current structure, all right, don't go back to 1789 and tell me, well, they distrusted fascists. Yes, that's true. We've said that a million times on this show. But where we are today, there are two dominant factions, the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, the Republicans have a chance at actually being the constitutional party because they have people in high office like Ted Cruz, like Rand Paul, like Justin Amash, like Jim DeMint. Maybe he's not in office anymore because I think he's found another path, something to do. He's kind of taking the same tack that Sarah Palin is taking. Like her, don't like her, the fact is that she knows how to pick conservative candidates who can win. And that's very important. So you can sit there and go, oh, my goodness, the Republican, what they did in Tampa was horrible, and so I'm going to kill this party. Fine. What are you going to replace it with? You really think the Libertarian Party or Gary Johnson has a chance in 2016? Do you think the Libertarian Party is going to pick up any House seats in 2014? It's not going to happen. So be realistic. Correct. I'm not saying abandon the Libertarian Party or don't support it locally, but on the federal level, it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat. And if you don't find a conservative Republican and support him, I'm not saying support a rhino. If you don't find a conservative Republican and support him, you're going to get a Democrat. Back to you, Texas.
Absolutely. And Rex, I mean, this is one of the things, which is how do you start a new political party? They don't start because the grassroots gets together and all of a sudden decides that we're going to start this party. You need some of the groups that support one of the two major parties or one of the major parties to split free from it because it's, they consider it unworkable, and some politicians come over with it as well. So trying to do it on your own is going to be difficult. Now, indicating to the leadership that, hey, we don't like what's going on, and if things don't change, we're willing to bolt too if you guys will bolt, then you have sort of an audible that, hey, look, this party's falling apart. Maybe we should start something new. And that starts emboldening some of the people that you want to see effect reform and maybe form a third party. But just trying to do it on your own by changing your vote, your voting is often difficult. You know, but everybody has to vote their own conscience, and that's the most important thing. But I wanted to share something that is in our chat that comes from an old friend, Barbara, who's talking about what's going on with the Rules Committee. And she says that she has spoken with the chairman of the Rules Committee, and they have been working with Morton Blackwell to change the rules. And he, let's see, well, what he said is also when, oh, great, somebody just posted this. She said, quote, when Ralph mentioned that Morton's changes were the ones I was favoring, he became more open about talking to me about it and was happy someone was paying attention. Look for them to be changed. They want to change all the, quote, stupid rules the Romney consultants insisted on. So based on that, it looks like certainly there are some hopeful signs that the rules may actually be changed this time around, because certainly if they're not changed, it looks like the death knell of the Republican Party. And if they weren't changed, I don't know, I would look for some of the major groups that make up the Republican Party to start looking at breaking free and forming a third party or something similar.
Yeah, Tex, I mean, reasonably speaking, if these rules aren't changed and, you know, there's going to be a mass migration of Republicans to some new third party or some of the existing parties, that's a death knell for 2014. I mean, that means the Democrats are going to get 2014 or Rhino doesn't get 2014. So we really don't have time to fool around with this. It's important to change these rules. Now, here's the simple fact. They put these rules in place expecting one dipshit Willard Mitt Romney to be the current president, and these rules were put in place to ensure that after the terrible job he was going to do, he wouldn't be booted out by his own party for his second term. Okay? The blowback that they have received, not merely from those of us who were involved in trying to get a brokered convention up through August, but blowback from just about all quarters of the party. I mean, no one is going to accuse Morton Blackwell of being a libertarian, a Ron Paul, or one of these, you know, crazy young wacko birds. All right, he's about as establishment Republican as you can get, but he despises these rules because they're the antithesis of what a political party is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the voice of its members, and these rules silence the members of the very party that the rules were enacted in. So the blowback has been very potent, and so they are retreating. Plus, let's face it, and we've said it a million times, one of the only reasons this is actually a conversation is because Mitt Romney lost, and that's a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, it means that Barack Obama became president. Don't think for a minute that Barack Obama won the presidency. You don't win the presidency by getting 13% less of your own people voting for you than you had 4 years prior. It was a default.
Lose.
It was a default, yeah, because the Republicans forfeit by running, yeah, Romney. Okay, so that's why there's blowback. Now, does that mean that we're assured that these things will change? Hell no. These insipid K Street dickheads are notorious for fucking things up royally to line their pockets. And they could do this again. Don't think that those lobbyists and consultants aren't involved in the RNC spring meeting. They sure as shit are, okay? But there are good committee men like Morton Blackwell, like Mark Willis, okay, who are going there to fight for these rules changes. But there are others who might be more opportunistic. They kind of check to see which way the wind's blowing before they make a decision, or they just might not have any sack. So they just get rolled over by the pressure there, okay? You have to empower them you have to tell them what you want. And remember that these people are elected to represent you if you're a Republican voter, even if you're not a member of the party, if you're a Republican voter or a conservative voter, then you have to tell them how you feel. There's only 168 of them. Okay, on the show link, there's a page that takes you right to the names of every single one for every state. We have the numbers for every state party. We have the Facebook links for every party. So just go to the Texan Rex show page on Facebook, click on the link for this show, and it has all the information there. And just send out 30 or 40 emails a day. There's even a sample letter from Cindy Todd there in the link that she sent to her reps in Florida. That can be used. You can edit it any way you want, make it shorter, longer, put in your own opinions, whatever. Okay, but it's there. And call and email these people and let them know how you feel. This matters because, remember, they have to be reelected or get elected again, and they also have to people when they go back home to the party meetings. They certainly don't want to face you if they've pissed you off. So that's what you need to do. And now is the time to do it because we have the wind at our backs. The reason they're taking these measures is because we're stronger than they are, and they know it, and they're scared shitless. So make them fear you. Get these rules changed so that we can have conservatism reign supreme in the next election.
Absolutely, Rex. And I just want to talk, one of the major things that we're talking about here is the change that was affected by the Romney campaign through Ben Ginsburg at the at Tampa, or leading up to Tampa. And the new wording of Rule 16 is, I'll just go ahead and read it. This is the second section, which affects the binding of delegates. Now, as we discussed over the summer previous or prior to this and going all the way back to 1964, the Republican National Committee did not recognize the binding of any candidates by the state party. That was something done at the state level, but the RNC said that you should vote for the Republican that you think is most eligible to win, and this came up in most recently in 2008 when a delegate from Utah, which is a Mormon state or where the capital of the head church of the Mormon faith is, wanted to vote for Mitt Romney, who's also Mormon and used to be a bishop in the Mormon church. So he was technically bound to vote for John McCain, but in his heart of hearts he felt that he should vote for Mitt Romney because for whatever reason he would be a better guy. And he wrote to the party and said, hey, I want to vote for John McCain. Can I vote for Mitt Romney? And the party wrote back that you can vote for whoever you want to because we don't recognize the binding of delegates. And so that person went to the convention and he voted for Mitt Romney and nobody said anything about it. Okay? So now we fast forward to 2012. Mitt Romney is running and he thinks delegates aren't going to want to vote for him because, doggone it, Republican voters don't want to vote for him either. But they're doing everything they can in the background to force himself on Republicans so that they have no choice. So they changed the rule. This is Rule 16A, binding and allocation. This is point two. This is what they changed it to. For any manner of binding or allocating delegates under these rules, the delegate I cast a vote for the president. For a presidential candidate at the national convention inconsistent with the delegate's obligation under state law or state party rule, two, nominates or demonstrates support under rule number 40 for a presidential candidate other than the one whom the delegate is bound or allocated under state law or party rule or state party rule, or three, fails in some way or other to carry out the delegate's affirmative duty under state law or state party rule to cast a vote at the national convention for a particular presidential candidate, the delegate shall be deemed to have concurrently resigned as the delegate, and the delegate's improper vote or nomination shall be null and void. Thereafter, the secretary of the convention shall record the delegate's vote or nomination in accordance with the delegate's obligation under state law or state party rule. The subsection does not apply to delegates who are bound to a candidate who has withdrawn his or her candidacy, suspended or terminated his or her campaign, or publicly released his or her delegate. So there you go. What they're stating is that you are bound. If you're a delegate, you are bound, and you have to vote for the candidate according to the state party rules. Now, if the national party just wants to win the election, we want the best guy, And this was done in order to prevent states from having their favorite son candidate and binding all the delegates to vote for their state's favorite son. This was, the problem. So the national campaign has never recognized the binding of delegates and always wanted you to be able to vote for who you thought was the best candidate for the job and the person who could win. And the problem was Mitt Romney was the worst candidate for the job, and he had no chance of winning, but they were trying to lock people up and bind them to vote for this guy so that they could go on and lose in November. But they were operating under the illusion that they could win. What they've done in order to bring about Romney's victory, because they figured he was going to win in November, and they thought that this was going to come back up in 2016. So what they were doing is trying to close the gap in 2016 so that Romney essentially would run the party with an iron fist and everybody would have to dance to his tune. That's the purpose of this rule. So he didn't win, and now it's time to fix it, because if you don't, essentially the grassroots has no say in what's going on in the party at the convention.
You know, can I throw something in here?
Please, go ahead. I started coughing.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to step on you. You know, one of the things one of the things I just put in chat is I said conventions are supposed to be messy with debate and voting. I mean, that's how they always were. You know, I remember an interview of Ron Paul on after the primary was over. And he was saying, you know, I've been around this game, 30 years? He said conventions were always, you know, you had speeches and, you know, everybody would get together and you would have votes and conversations about platform. And they shut everything down at this convention. Palin wasn't there. Are you serious? They wonder why they lost, why Romney lost. Ron Paul wasn't there. Well, he did sneak in and walk through and got some attention. But, I mean, as far as Newt Gingrich didn't speak, he built this frickin' party. You know what I mean? I mean, he took Reagan's platform and built the conservative movement. You know, I don't care what people say about Newt. You wouldn't know the word conservative if it wasn't for him. I mean, it is just mind-boggling to me that people think that the last two conventions represent how conventions are supposed to go. Do some research. You know, study
Absolutely.
History. I mean, this
well,
is what it's about. Go ahead.
To add something to that, Chris, if you look at when the parties went and they shut down conventions that were raucous affairs, right, where there was an actual battle between, you know, sets of delegates versus another set of delegates and this guy's supporters versus this other guy's supporters and speeches going on at the convention. And votes after votes after votes.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of that and they turned it into a political commercial. That happened basically at the end of the 60s. And look at the quality of the candidates we've been getting since then. Apart from Reagan and a few others, and, you know, I'm hard pressed. You know, we're not getting good candidates because they're turning the whole thing into commercials. We had better people coming out of these conventions, I think, when you were having an open debate at the convention and the party was choosing candidates, I think, ultimately, who are better for the park.
Here's something really interesting on that point, though, Chris. I'll let you make your point in a second, but I just want to point this out. Look at CPAC, right, which kind of has gone the same way as the Republican conventions. It used to be the place where conservatives met, not Republicans. It was for conservatives, and it is where Reagan basically, after the speech he gave for Goldwater, is where he really planted his flag as I'm the conservative standard bearer. Well, even Newt Gingrich before this CPAC said, I don't even know what the hell CPAC is anymore. It still attracts a lot of young people, but who knows what it is. However, I will say that because of the fact that they have they have to attract people to buy tickets and register for this event, that they have to give them something of what they want, they did have speakers who spoke conservatism and spoke it well. And one of them, no matter how you feel about her, okay, she's a player, so you have to acknowledge that, was Sarah Palin. And in fact, I think we got a clip, Sarah Palin, from CPAC, where she's talking about whether the Republican Party needs to rebrand itself or not. And if you can, if that comes up, I know we're having technical difficulties today, but let's see if we can give that a shot. But I think she makes some really good points about the fact that, you know, do we really need to rebrand the Republican Party, or do we just need, you know, candidates who actually are Republicans as opposed to Keynesian pretending to be.
We have the clip, and let's listen. So here's Sarah Palin at CPAC talking about rebranding the GOP.
The American people tuned out a long time ago. Entertainment TV is a good description of what's going on in D.C. because more than ever, it all feels like a put-on. Every event feels calculated to fool us somehow. Every speech feels like a con. Washington politicians, too many of both parties, have a bad habit of focusing on the process of politics instead of the purpose of politics, which is to lead and to serve. Even our guys in the GOP too often have a habit of reading their stage directions, especially these days. They're being too scripted, too calculated. They talk about rebuilding the party. How about rebuilding the middle class? They talk about rebranding the GOP instead of restoring the trust of the American people. Now, we can't just ignore, though, that we just lost a big election. Yeah, came in second out of two. Second position on the dog sled team, it's where the view never changes and the view ain't pretty. But we need to figure out then, our job, what will we do next? As we go about that, as we talk to one another and listen to what the speakers have to say, let's be clear about one thing. We're not here to rebrand a party. We're here to rebuild a country. We're not here to dedicate ourselves to new talking points coming from D.C. We're not here to put a fresh coat of rhetorical paint on our party. We're not here to abandon our principles in a contest of government giveaways. That's a game we will never, ever win. We're here to restore America, and the rest is just theatrics. The rest is sound and fury. It's just making noise.
Awesome.
Well, there you have it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem isn't that the party needs a rebranding, it's the country needs a renewal. And the conservative wing of the Republican Party has shown that it has those sets of ideas, and the problem is the Washington establishment doesn't like it. What the party is dealing with, and what I think a lot of Republican voters are dealing with, is that they're demoralized that they lost to Barack Obama. Why are you demoralized? Because you lost to Barack Obama. Okay, because Fox News has spent a lot of money telling you that if Barack Obama wins, you've lost the country, and we're all going down this horrible socialist path straight to hell. But whatever. The thing is, if Mitt Romney had won, all these policies that you're seeing going on in Washington, they would have Mitt Romney's name on them because there wouldn't be very much difference between what Mitt Romney is doing and what Barack Obama is doing currently. Gas, but Obamacare used to be called Romneycare, and the guy who wrote Romneycare wrote Obamacare, so there wasn't really a lot of difference between these candidates to begin with. But if instead the voters, the Republican voters, had been allowed to express their opinion honestly, we would have had a different nominee. And I suspect that nominee likely would have been Newt Gingrich because you saw a huge surge in support for him at South Carolina, and my governor, Rick Perry, and Mitt Romney, who had all the money at the time, decided to move Florida's primary up with some collusion by the Bushes, who Jeb Bush being from Florida, and the Bushes being friendly with Karl Rove promoting both Rick Perry, who Karl Rove convinced to leave the Democrat Party and become a Republican, and who was supporting Mitt Romney's campaign, worked with the Florida Republican Party in order to move the that primary up because it's so expensive to run a campaign in Florida that Rick Perry and Mitt Romney's money advantage would be so great that Romney would win. And Romney did manage to squeak out a victory there by some measly 2%. Outspending Gingrich by some 20-1, I believe. And then Karl Rove, who's promoting...
Well, it's actually even more than that if you factor the money that they spent on Ricky Santorum's mayor for Iowa campaign.
Yes, exactly. So if you had a a ticket that had Newt Gingrich at the top and I think Ron Paul at the bottom, you would have cakewalked easily into victory. We would now be in the middle of a Newt Gingrich presidency, and Newt Gingrich had his 100 days, and in Newt Gingrich's 100 days back in 1994, he brought about the balanced budget that 720, or Mr. Colorado, who called in earlier, is so much a fan of. And we would now be looking at having a balanced budget, and everybody would be happy, and everything would be sweetness and light, and we would all be talking about how great the economy was going to be and all the reforms that we had. And we would have the youth vote for the Ron Paul people, and the Republican Party would be more reinvigorated than ever before. And we would be talking about a sea change in American politics and all that kind of stuff. And instead, we're talking about the broke-down-ass Republican Party and how it's too old, too white, doesn't appeal to this, doesn't appeal to that. And who did this to us? Mitt Romney did. The Republican establishment did that to us. There's nothing wrong with the principles of this party. There's nothing wrong with the branding of this party. There is something wrong with running a liberal Democrat in the party and trying to say that he's one of us when everybody clearly knows he's not. Mitt Romney was the skunk at the party, and Karl Rove is the guy who brought the skunk.
But why they go to such extreme measures to push? Look, I mean, they've done it before, right? I mean, they Mr. Voodoo Economics, right? They snowed us with that one. That was the first time I got to vote for the top of the ticket, and I just didn't want to vote for that guy. I wanted to vote for Ross Perot. But I got bowled over with this whole lesser of two evils bullshit, and that if you're voting for Perot, you're helping elect Clinton, all right? That's garbage. But in any event, the simple fact is that they took these measures this time to this extent, even more than they did with Bob Dole and John McCain. Why? Because the grassroots is more invigorated than ever. Hat tip to Ron Paul for that one. And every Republican, whether you happen to like Ron Paul or, quote, libertarians or wacko birds or not, tip your hat to Ron Paul for, A, putting on the table the issue of sound money and ending the Fed, and, B, for bringing more people into this party than anybody had since Ronald Reagan, okay? Went their shit with you. And the fact is that you're winning. That's why they did this. So instead of, you know, around like a chicken without a head, you know, what the hell are we going to do? What's going on, man? Now is the time to move forward, because there's more of us than there is of them. We have the wind at our backs. Put the pressure on these committee members to change these rules, and let's make 2014 make 2010 look like a Tea Party. Pun intended.
Well, and it is. The movement that everybody's excited about right now, you know, somehow, some way, you know, the left went after the Tea Party, and the Rhino RNC establishment went after the Tea Party, including Romney. We've seen the data on that. He helped to destroy Sarah Palin. Palin went back, and she came out kicking tail and went to war in 2009, 2010, and was a piece of almost all of that success. She was everywhere on the map. She didn't back down. And a lot of the success that we had down ballot in this last ticket, including Ted Cruz, which he said when he introduced Sarah Palin, I wouldn't be here without, if it wasn't for her, you know, she is that, she is still that Tea Party wave. And when you look at what Rand is doing, which I said before, you know, it's spectacular, but it's not really that spectacular. It's what we voted him in for as a Tea Party candidate, to go in there, kick some ass, and take names. And with Jim DeMint, you know, working in the Senate, it seems that the Tea Party members in the Senate have got some cojones, or sack, like Rex said earlier. I about fell out of my chair. But, you know, the House rolled over. You know, they kowtowed down and got quiet, and we actually had the biggest wave of Tea Party election in the House because we regained the House. That was the Tea Party movement. And for some reason, they didn't coalesce in there very well. They didn't have a Jim DeMint, you know, type older leader, you know, to keep them rallied and keep them focused and empower them like DeMint did in the Senate, and the House lost its cojones. You know, and so what we see in the Senate, now this is the thing I've been saying, you know, quite a bit on the group lately, is focus on the good things, because what Rand Paul's doing is not about 2016. Yeah, maybe he's going to run, maybe he's not, you know, whatever. But I don't see Rand Paul doing anything different than he has always done. If anybody looks at his past record with the budget deal, his positions on all the things that he's fighting for right now, they're the same as he was doing a year and a half, 2 years ago. He was introducing that stuff then. It's just that for some reason, you know, he's got a lot of national attention this time. And I would imagine that people behind the scenes, including DeMint, are in his ear communicating constantly, because DeMint is that elder statesman, you know, in that Tea Party movement. And so when you look at this thing across the board, is there's a movement, and this movement is going to lead to 2014 success, which will mirror what happened in 2010 if we focus on the good. That, I mean, that's my, you know, maybe I'm, you know, beating a dead horse with this, but it seems like everybody's focused all over the place, all including 2016, when in reality we're setting on a resurgence of the 2010 Tea Party movement if we keep our crap together, you guys.
Well, I think it'll be even bigger. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Chris. I mean, the establishment came in, they thought that Romney was going to win, and they had a prepackaged narrative that they were going to send out to the Republican voter and to the GOP, and they had a set of plans of operation that they were going to implement once they got control of the Republican Party, which namely was to move it into a Rhino direction, make it the Democrat light party, and try to tiptoe away from the grassroots of the Republican Party, get away from the Tea Party, which is really the fiscal conservative part of the party that is the one thing that unites all the wings of the Republican Party together. And not only that, is probably the number one brand appeal that the Republican Party has nationally is the fiscal conservatism. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's, those days are over, and hey, we don't need conservatives and all that kind of stuff. Rhinos can win. And they're the wave of the future, and they were going to go about getting rid of them. Well, fortunately, Mitt Romney did not win. Unfortunately, Barack Obama did. but you were faced with two terrible choices. Ultimately, I think for purposes of fixing the Republican Party and victory in the future, the long-term better outcome for us surfaced, which is that Mitt Romney lost. But now they're going through, and the establishment is trying to implement all the stuff that they were talking about before as if Mitt Romney won, namely get control of the party, you know, marginalize conservatives wherever you can find them, run a super PAC that gets rid of these, you know, wild radicals that are out there that have the support of the American people, make sure that they don't show up in Washington. They're going through and they're implementing all these things, but they're finding resistance at every level, and they're losing credibility. And when they lose credibility, slowly they are eroding their own grip on power. And I think this is all a good thing, and the grassroots really is taking over. And what we're inviting listeners to do, and the grassroots to, and conservatives to do, is step up and become part of the conversation and start taking positive actions that can help affect these types of things. Let Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, all these other people know that you support what they're doing. And they will start doing more of the same. It will embolden others. But if you sit and you're silent, you're only empowering the establishment that's saying that, you know, basically the Republican Party voter, much like most American voters, are basically passive voters and just turn on the television and vote for whoever they're told is going to win, and therefore we can take this party over. Before I turn it over to Rex and then Chris, I just want to say that we have 20 minutes left in the show, and so if you want to call in and join the conversation, we certainly welcome you, no matter how nuts you might be. the guest call-in number is 646-649-1013. If you are have something on topic to say, we'd love to hear from you. If you have some information that you have that you think that we don't have that we contribute, we'd love to hear about that too. If you're a schizophrenic and you've been talking into your shoe for the past week walking around in the woods, we encourage you to dial on the laces and call into the show and let us know your thoughts as well. So, Rex, what's on your mind?
Well, I have to say that I think that most Republican voters are passive and silent. That's fine. You know, that's what they want to do. That's okay, because they don't win or lose elections. They're just there like a lump of shit that just, you know, does what it's told. But the grassroots, those who are politically aware, those who are active, those who are motivated, those who are passionate, that's who wins or loses elections. And 2014 and 2016 are yours to win. But not if you are doing exactly what the CLEC, the consultant, lobbyist, and establishment complex wants you to do. And that is to beat the crap out of each other over inconsequential bullshit. You know, Ron Pollers want to legalize pot and have sodomites run all over the place. And, oh, those Christians, they want to take us back to the Inquisition. They're absolutely terrible. And Gingrich is a New World Order crazy guy. And Rand Paul isn't really a libertarian. He's a dark horse for the you know, New World Order. He's being manipulated. That's the kind of crap that is going to ensure that whichever piece of crap the Democrats run in any race next year or in 2016 is going to win. Not because they have a good message, not because they can motivate people, but simply because you are just so busy fighting with each other that this party is going to implode and conservatism and libertarianism are going to die on the national level. So quit your bitching, quit your infighting, put your big girl panties on, call all 168 RNC committee people, and let's get this done, because the country is where we are. Are we in agreement on everything? No. Will we ever be? No. This is America. If you want a place where everybody's in agreement on everything, there's been plenty of countries and models we can go after. Let's say the USSR, Nazi Germany, Red China. You know, we can have one of those countries where everybody's in agreement because, you know, you're scared you're going to be taken away by the secret police if you open your mouth. Or you can have the beautiful, messy liberty we've had for over 200 years where we fight about our disagreements under the banner of the Constitution. And the very simple fact is that conservatives agree and libertarians agree in large part on most of these things. So start working together, because we can really win. And it's not just about the Republican Party winning. I could care less if the Republican Party, the Democratic Party wins. What I care about is having conservative principles in the federal government to allow the states and the local communities and the individuals far more freedom, which is our right, in order to reclaim and build the country. And I know this guy called earlier and said, why do you want to take the country back? When did you lose your country? We lost our country about 100 years ago, but most of us didn't know it. And when I say we, I mean all of us. If you're a liberal, right, you have liberal views, what we call liberals today, which is really progressive, okay, the Democratic Party's not representing you either. And if you're a conservative, you sure as shit aren't being represented by most of the Republicans. So take it back. Take back the parties, both of them. You know, in 1924, both the Democrats and the Republicans ran conservative candidates. Imagine that. You know, learn your history. Learn your Constitution. Get motivated and make sure that these rules get fixed. Now, what you can do to make that happen, okay, is call them, email them, share this show. And if you have to scare them a little bit, do so. Remember something. You're not calling these people up to ask their permission. All right?
That's right.
The whole point of this government that we have here, the Constitution, is that when you're elected to office, you're not the king. You're not the ruler. You're the servant. It's servant leadership. Yes, people need to be corralled. People need to be led. People need to be inspired. But in service, not in diktat. So you tell them what to do. They don't tell you what to do. You don't ask their permission. You call them up. Be polite, but you call them up and you tell them what you want. They represent you. And don't feel like you have to be limited to the three from your state. Call all of them. Why not? It's all 50 states that are going to elect the candidates. Call all of them. Tex, I believe we've got little Sarah Palin telling one little architect to go home, consultant's clip, if you want to cue that up before we bring it on home.
Absolutely, Rex. Here we go. Sarah talking about the consultants at CPAC.
Ending the top-down approach of D.C. also means changing our top-down political process. The next election is 20 months away. Now is the time to furlough the consultants and tune out the pollsters, send the focus groups home, and toss the political scripts. Because if we truly know what we believe, we don't need professionals to tell us. And if we truly seek to know the hearts and minds of the American people, there is no substitute for going out and asking them, being one of them with real-world experience, actual conversations with actual hard-working Americans. And that goes for finding candidates as well. Creating a government by, for the people, it means looking to our communities, our PTAs, our service clubs, small businesses, Tea Party rallies, and city halls for people who are willing to lead. Do you know someone whose judgment you trust? Someone who doesn't just preach common sense but actually lives it? Well, encourage her or him to run for office. Are you mad as hell and think that you have a better way? Then run yourself. Don't let the big consultants, the big money men, and the big bad media scare you off. Don't let them invalidate you. Don't let them invalidate you when you no doubt have more real-world, practical experience with family and real work. That's real life. Than those in that political bubble who try to tell you who's worthy and who just doesn't fit their bill. The last thing we need is Washington, D.C. vetting our candidates. If these experts who keep losing elections yet keep getting rehired, raking in millions, if they feel that strongly about who gets to run in this party, then they should buck up or stay in the truck. Buck up and run. The architects can head on back to... They can head on back to the great Lone Star State and put their name on some ballot. Though, for their sake, I hope they give themselves a discount on their consulting services.
Well, there you have it.
She's right.
Yeah, absolutely. A broadside against the consulting class and how they've been cleaning up on the Republican Party. I think I mentioned on another show how, you know, control of your donor list and your voter list is very important for a party because you know who gives you money and who's voting for you. And the Republican Party used to have this, and the person who was in charge of that quit, formed their own company, a consulting company, and then negotiated a contract to buy the list from the Republican Party that it now leases back to the Republican Party for a fee. So the Republican Party really has been fleeced. I don't know if you guys know that, but at the top level of the Republican Party, essentially, this thing is kind of a hollow shell, and it doesn't have access to the basic things that it needs in order to function as an effective political party. It's being hollowed out by its consultants.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's frightening, particularly if you want to change the direction that Washington's going in. Everybody says that they do, whether they're on the right or the left. They say that they do want to change the direction Washington's going in. The only party really that talks about that or pretends to even care is the Republican Party, and fact of the matter is when they get in office, they do exactly the same thing as the Democrat Party. But if this is your last best hope to change the direction that things are going, you know, there's a lot of work to do. We have 10 minutes left in the show, so I think that I will turn it over to Rex to give his thoughts on the Sarah Palin clip.
Well, I think that, you know, She's got chutzpah, they would say, you know, and I think that that's why the stale moss McCain campaign chose her as the vice president. See, the way that these rhinos work is, you know, they give you the next rhino in line, who's usually a dipshit douchebag who's just going to do all sorts of corporatist Keynesian crap for the, you know, Washington Wall Street conglomerate. And then they try to give the grassroots a nod with the most useless job in all of Washington, D.C., which is vice president. So they gave us Sarah Palin with McCain, and she, for the most part, did a very good job about motivating people. The only time that she was really screwed up was, one, when the McCain people were handling her, and she, you know, they made her look stupid. And two, I got to say, foreign policy, she was a little tepid, but that's okay. She was only going to be the VP. You know, they did it again in 2012 with, you know, little Paulie Ryan, right, an up-and-coming, quote, you know, budget cutter, all this kind of stuff, who committed political suicide by running on that ticket. Now he's a friggin' joke, and he should be, because that was just stupid. Who would run as Romney's running mate? I mean, should have picked his son. No one else should have even wanted to go near that guy. So the simple fact is that she's got spunk. She's got the pulse of the people. Now, I know that she's not everybody's cup of tea. Guess what? Neither Tex and Rex is certainly not Captain Caveman. Big deal. This is America, okay? You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to necessarily get along with everybody. In fact, fighting is what we're made for. That's why we have these, 50 bicameral state houses and the one in D.C., so we can have these fights under the banner of liberty and the Constitution, okay? But what you can't discount is that she knows how to pick winning candidates who, for the most part, are genuinely conservative. There are a couple of bad choices. No one's perfect, okay? But she nailed it when she told Karl Rove to go home and the consultants to get out, because they are not only, as Tex said, fleecing the party of money, resources, even credibility, but they're bleeding the party, because there's a lot of people who are never going to vote Republican who are actually conservative because they're so pissed off, just like we were in 2012. But the fact is, we can win. This shell, and you really got to start thinking of the Republican Party as a shell, okay? It is not the Rhino Cleck. It is not the party of Bush, McCain, and Romney. It is a shell. This wasn't the party of Reagan. This was supposed to be the party of H.W. Eat My Shorts Bush, but Reagan made it the party of Reagan. And Gingrich made it the party of Gingrich, and the Cleck came back every time and took it back. Well, you can either throw your hands up in the air and say, well, I'm not going to support it. I'm just going to go vote on principle and make sure that the Democrats win for the next 40 years. Or take this party over. Make it conservative, libertarian coalition again. Now's the time. The fact that Romney went down in such a spectacular defeat is a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, it also meant that Barack Obama won by default. But now's the time to take it back. So I know we've only got a few minutes left, so I guess we should go to final thoughts. So unless you got something to say, Texas, I guess we should throw it to Chris.
Absolutely. Chris, you're up.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I wish I could find things that I didn't agree with you guys on so we could light it up, but I agree with them, you know, so much of what you're saying.
Bring that other guy back.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, exactly. That was, see, that's the problem. People are afraid to dial in against the intellectual might, you know.
No kidding. But anyway, here's a point coming up. She said 20 months, it's, you know, going to be down to 19 months for the election for 2014. But, you know, the campaigning, you know, people are already positioning now. And so we are in the 2014 election. There are 435 House seats up for reelection, 33 senators plus any special elections, and 36 governorships are up for reelection. Okay, that's a big chunk of numbers. You know, instead of the news of the day and the conspiracy of the day and the Obama this and the Obama that of the day, you know, this is important. You do not want to give Obama back control of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, because if you don't like what he did in the first 2 years, can you imagine what he would do in the last 2 years if he had total control? People need to get focused on the things that matter. There's a lot of little, you know, subpar things everybody gets upset about. You know, I know Benghazi is still a big issue. And, I mean, we're being dished crap every day. You know, the news just keeps everybody just scattered, confused, fearful. Hey, we know who Obama is. We know what he was going to do. The bottom line is the only thing that keeps a liberal president in check is a is at least one of the other branches controlled by conservatives, not Republicans. Now, it'd be nice if we had both branches controlled by conservatives, because we would stop everything dead in its tracks, and this would be a lame duck session for the next, for the last 2 years. Come in, sweep it in 2016, and get our country back. That's my input.
Well, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, I think what we ought to impress upon our listeners is that all of this is fixable. We've been going through a process, really, of the 2012 elections where everyone was excited. It was an opportunity to get rid of Barack Obama, but, you know, Barack Obama is just a person, really. What it was a chance to do was to remove that governing philosophy and replace it with one that actually mattered and was going to make a difference and take the country in the right direction. Sadly, we were not, as the American people, we were denied the opportunity to have a debate about the direction of the country, and we were foisted with two candidates that essentially had the same set of policies that they were going to enact upon the American people. This was heresy among, you know, some GOP loyalists, but I suggest that they're not paying enough attention to what's actually going on. And instead, we got the GOP leadership, which pretty much works hand-in-hand with the Washington establishment in order to make sure that the ways of Washington continue, which is to concentrate more and more power in the federal government, take more and more of your tax dollars, and redistribute it through federal government coffers rather than you spending it yourself. And that's what occurred, but we're winning the debate, and it is possible to take back control of this party. This has been done before several times in the party's history. There's no reason that I think that we should be giving up now. So it's time to concentrate your efforts, remain focused, contact your GOP leadership, make sure that they are staying on task, make sure that they know that the grassroots is behind them and that they want to see this type of change happening in the party. So we have about a minute left in the show, and so I want to thank everybody for dialing in. This is the Tex and Rex Show. We're here every Sunday night, except for special occasions where we do some shows on off nights, as we did last week. We played on April the 1st, April Fool's Day. But this is a conversation about the direction of the Republican Party and the direction that how we can reform it and the direction we want to go. So I encourage everybody to tune in every Sunday night for the Tex and Rex Show. And let me turn it over to Rex really quick. Rex, you have some final thoughts?
For those of you listening live, catch us in archive, but I just want to remind everybody, go to the Tex and Rex Show page on Facebook. If you click like on the page, you will receive notifications in your news feed on Facebook when we're broadcasting and other associated information. There's also links to the clips we've used on the shows, articles we've referenced. There is a link to all 168 RNC committee members, as well as the phone numbers for every state party and their links to their Facebook pages. If you are a conservative, if you are a libertarian, not Big L, but, you know, Ron Paul, Rand Paul type libertarian, if you are even a Republican loyalist, loyal to the party, not the rhino clique, nothing is more important from now until April 11th than calling all these members, emailing them over and over again. Let them know how you feel. Let them know you want these rules changed, because we want to have the power to speak up, to nominate candidates that represent us, our beliefs, the Constitution that they'll defend, liberty that they'll promote. This isn't about taking the country back or running the country. This is about taking this party back so that we can roll back the federal government so that you, Mr. and Mrs. America, can run the country. Politicians aren't supposed to run the country. They're supposed to run the government within its specific enumerated powers. If you want that to happen, don't look to the Democratic Party, because they're not going to do it. They're all in for the whole bureaucratic, socialist, centralized government. Only the Republican Party can be taken back in order to give you your country back so that you can run it. This is the most important thing to do, and please share the show. If you're on Blog Talk Radio now, you can just right-click below the show icons. There's a download link. Right-click on it. You can download an MP3, burn a CD, give it to somebody, email it, do whatever. Get the information out there. We might deliver it in a way that doesn't appeal to everybody, but this information is vital, and you've got to get it out there so that we can be prepared for 2014 and 2016. We have the wind at our back. Now is the time to win. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die.
All right, mister, what do you think you're doing? You call this a room? This is a pigsty. I want you to straighten up this area now. You are a disgusting slob. Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
We'll be right back.
my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.